This episode is brought to you by Sterling Soap Company. Fellas, you've heard the phrase, look good, feel good, right? But why not add smell good to that too? That's where Sterling Soap Company comes in. First, Sterling Soap is 100% natural and has a wide variety of bath soaps, shave soaps, beard balm, lotions, and cologne. Second, there's a scent just for you. How about burgundy? Yeah, it's more than a color. The Sterling Soap folks blend natural essential oils with hints of mahogany, golden amber, and sandalwood. Or how about D503, an intensely masculine scent inspired by Legend by Mont Blanc. And third, you will feel good about the price. For just a little more than you'd pay at the grocery store, Sterling Soap will leave you feeling clean, refreshed, and ready for whatever's next. Give Sterling Soap a try today. Visit sterlingsoap.com. Hey there, and thanks for stopping in again to another edition of This Day in Sports History. It's April 13th, and on this day in 1997, Tiger Woods won his first major golf tournament, blowing away the field in the process. So, April, golf major, this is obviously the Masters, and Tiger Woods is a 21-year-old wunderkind. At this point, he's won three tour events, and of course, that followed his stellar amateur career where he won three consecutive U.S. amateur championships to go along with his three straight U.S. junior amateur championships. This is Tiger's first Masters as a pro. The previous year, he was the top amateur, but he missed the cut at 8-over. Starting the 1997 Masters looked like it might be a repeat of that. Tiger struggled on the front nine on Thursday, making the turn in 4-over par 40, but then he got his putter working, and he started firing at some pins. On the back nine, Tiger had four birdies and an eagle to finish with a first-round 2-under par 70. At that point, he took off, firing a 66 to take the lead by three shots over Colin Montgomery. He then bested that effort with a bogey free round of 65 on Saturday to take a 9-shot lead on the field. And barring any sort of Greg Norman-like collapse on Sunday, the green jacket was his. And of course, he played the final day in his trademark red shirt and shot a 369 to beat Tom Kite by 12 shots. It was Tiger's first Masters win, his first major. The 12-shot win topped the margin of victory record set by Jack Nicklaus in 1965. His four-day total of 270 also bettered Nicklaus and Raymond Floyd's total of 271. Of course, Tiger has gone on to win another 14 majors, and that march all started on this day in 1997. Now, of course, if Tiger could pull off another Masters win at this point in his career, he would not only tie Jack's mark of 6 green jackets, but would best Jack's record for becoming the oldest golfer to ever win the Masters. And it was on this day in 1986 when the 46-year-old Golden Bear pulled that off. And he did it in dramatic fashion. Nicklaus was 4 shots back of leaders Tom Kite and Seve Ballesteros on the back nine on Sunday. At the par 5 15th, Jack fired his second shot, a 200-yard 4-iron over the water to within 12 feet. He rolled the putt in for eagle to cut the margin to 2. And at the par 3 16th, he hit a 3/4 5-iron to within about 6 feet and rolled that in for birdie. After a few golfers stumbled behind him, he had a chance to take the lead at 17 and calmly rolled the putt in for another birdie to Vern Lundquist's well-timed, "Yes, sir!" After parring the 18th, he had to wait for 6 groups to come in. But there was more stumbling in those groups. Ballesteros had a 3-putt bogey on 17 to fall out of contention. Third-round leader Greg Norman had a chance to force a playoff with a par on 18, but his second shot went right into the gallery. Couldn't get up and down and finished with a bogey, 1 shot back. Tom Kite had a putt on the 18th to force a playoff as well, but it slipped by the hole, and Nicklaus had his record 6th Masters green jacket and his 18th overall major. At 46, Nicklaus still is the oldest golfer to ever win at Augusta. In 1957, the Boston Celtics won their first ever NBA title in a drama-filled Game 7 over the St. Louis Hawks. Tommy Heinsohn poured in 37 and Bill Russell scored 32 and pulled 19 rebounds, but it took two overtimes to decide the NBA champ. The Hawks' Bob Pettit, who had scored an NBA playoff-best 50 points in the deciding game a year prior, sank a pair of free throws to send it into the first OT. The Hawks had to make up ground at the end of the first extra period to tie it at 113 and send it on to a second OT. The Celtics jumped out again, but this time, the Hawks ran out of steam. Pettit's half-court heave as time expired rolled off the rim, and the Boston Celtics had their first of 17 NBA championships. And in 1978, the New York Yankees, in conjunction with the Curtis Candy Company, began distributing the Reggie Candy Bar. This all originated when Jackson was still with the Oakland A's and made a comment that if he ever played in New York, they would name a candy bar after him. Of course, he, like a lot of people, me included, thought the Baby Ruth was named after the great Yankee slugger. Well, it wasn't, and is not. It actually got the name from former governor of New York and the 22nd president of the United States, Grover Cleveland. Cleveland's daughter was named Ruth, who had died in 1920. Now, this was opening day for the Yankees in 78, and the Curtis Candy Company passed Reggie bars out to all the fans who came to the ballgame that day. After Jackson hit a bomb of a homer in the first inning, many in the crowd tossed their orange-wrapped bars onto the field in celebration. It didn't have a long run, though. When Reggie went to the California Angels in 1982, and before he became a trained assassin manipulated to kill the Queen of England in the Naked Gun movie, the Reggie bar was discontinued. And today's non-sports, did you know? The state of Kansas is literally and officially flatter than a pancake. That's all for now. I'll have more tomorrow on This Day in Sports History. This has been an original Thrive Suite production.
Hey there, Sports History fans. We've got some exciting news to share with you. Six of our podcasts from the Sports History Network have made it to the final round of voting for the prestigious Sports Podcast Awards. Here are their shows and the categories. Historically Speaking Sports and This Day in Sports History are both competing for Best Sports Talk Podcast. No Nonsense Old School Weightlifting History is in the running for Best Fitness, Health, and Well-Being Podcast. When Football Was Football is up for Best Sports Documentary Podcast. Wrestling with Heels On has entered the ring for Best Wrestling Podcast. And Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing is fighting for the title for Best Combat Sports Podcast. Now, of course, we need your help to take home the championship for each of these awesome shows. All you gotta do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/vote, cast your vote for your favorite shows, or better yet, all six of them. Again, every vote counts, and we gotta show the world how much sports history really matters. So thank you for your support and making Sports History Network the headquarters for sports yesteryear. But again, don't wait. You got to go vote now. That's over at sportshistorynetwork.com/vote.